All right, so grad school, huh? Thinking about taking the plunge, that's fantastic. But I bet you're also wondering how to pay for it all without, being buried in debt forever.
A very smart thing to be thinking about.
For sure, and that's exactly why we're doing this deep dive today. We've got a bunch of articles that really get into the nitty-gritty of grad school finances.
Yeah. Believe me, it's a whole different world compared to undergrad.
Right, like completely different rules of the game.
Absolutely.
So let's just jump right in. What's the first thing someone thinking about grad school should be prepared for?
Well, first off, you got to understand that the cost can be way more than you'd expect. I mean, even beyond what they list as tuition on the university website.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There are definitely more costs than JSD tuition. Like, I know that, but break it down for me.
Okay. Well, there's housing, obviously,
Right.
which can be crazy expensive, especially if you're in a big city where a lot of these programs are.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you've got all the regular living expenses, food, transportation, even stuff like professional clothes if you need them for, internships or conferences.
Right. But I feel like there are also all these hidden costs, too. Things you don't even think about until you're already there.
You're telling me. One that people often forget about is textbooks and supplies.
Oh, yeah, those can be brutal.
And it's not like undergrad where you can usually get away with using old editions or buying used books.
No.
Grad school often requires super specific texts that can cost like hundreds of dollars each. And then depending on your field, you might have even more on top of that. Software, lab fees, travel for research.
Oh, yeah. One of these articles mentioned how some grad students, like if you're studying marine biology, often have to travel to like really remote places to do research.
Exactly. It all adds up so fast.
And then you've got professional exams and certifications on top of that.
Yep. A lot of fields like healthcare, law, education, they all require those licensing exams.
Which, of course, have their own fees.
Exactly. And don't forget about the cost of TREP courses and all that.
So basically, we're talking thousands of dollars on top of tuition, potentially.
Easily.
Oof, no wonder people freak out.
It's a lot to take in. That's why it's so important to really understand the financial side of things. Like before you even apply to programs, you
Yeah.
want to be sure it's a good decision financially, not just academically.
Right, absolutely. So, okay, knowing all that, how do people actually manage to pay for it all? Are those generous undergrad scholarships, like, are those gone?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there are still scholarships and grants out there for grad students, but they're a lot harder to get and a lot more competitive. Plus, many grad programs, especially in research-heavy fields, they're so demanding that it's nearly impossible to work a part-time job to make ends meet.
Yeah, one of the articles talked about research assistantships in like STEM fields, and it sounds like those are pretty awesome if you can snag one. They often come with tuition waivers and a stipend,
Exactly.
which would take a huge chunk out of, the financial burden.
For sure.
Yeah.
Those are definitely worth looking into. And not just for the money either. They also give you valuable research experience that can help you later on in your career.
Right.
The key is to start early. Research professors reach out to the ones whose work you're interested in and just really sell yourself. Show them your skills and why you'd be a great fit.
Good advice. So assistantships are one option. But what about loans? I know a lot of people rely on those. Are they really the big, scary monster everyone makes them out to be?
Well, they can be,
Oh.
but they don't have to be. I mean, if you use them responsibly, they can actually be really helpful.
Okay, yeah.
Think of it as like an investment in your future,
Yeah.
in your earning potential down the road.
Right. I like that way of thinking about it. But there are different kinds of loans, right? And some are better than others, I'm assuming.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely not a one-size-fits-all
So
situation.
what are the options?
Okay, so the most common types are federal direct unsubsidized loans and then federal direct PSUS loans. Those are both offered by the government, and they usually have better terms than private loans.
Better in what way?
Well, for one thing, federal loans typically have fixed interest rates, so like your rate won't change over time,
Oh.
whereas private loans often have those variable rates that can go up.
Yeah, which makes it a lot harder to plan.
Exactly. Makes it harder to know what your payments will be later on.
Right. Fixed rates sound a lot less scary. So, what's the difference between those two federal loan options, the unsubsidized and the PLOS loans?
So unsubsidized loans, they don't actually accrue interest while you're in school,
Oh, okay.
which can save you a lot of money in the long run.
Got it.
PLUS loans, on the other hand, they do accrue interest while you're enrolled.
Okay.
But the good thing is that they allow you to borrow a larger amount.
Ah, I see. So if you need more money, PLUS loans might be the way to go, but then you're paying more in interest. What about those private loans? When would someone even think about those?
Yeah, so it's usually best to like max out your federal loan options first.
Right, because of those borrower protections and the fixed rates.
Yep, exactly. But there are some cases where private loans might be a decent option, especially if you have really good credit and can qualify for a lower interest rate than what the federal programs offer.
So it's worth doing your research and comparing. It's not as easy as just checking the loan box on the financial aid form, huh?
No, definitely not. It's way more complicated than that. And this is where it gets a little tricky, understanding the loan terms. Because things like interest rates, repayment plans, and deferment options, they can have a huge impact on how much debt you end up with.
Yeah, one article mentions something called capitalized interest and how that can really sneak up on you. Can you explain that? Like, I'm not exactly a finance expert.
Sure. So basically, capitalized interest is like interest on top of interest. So if you're not making payments on your loans while you're in school, that unpaid interest, it gets added to your principal balance once you start repayment. So then all of a sudden, you're paying interest on a much bigger amount, which means your monthly payments are higher.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
And the total amount you repay over the life of the loan goes up too.
Yeah, I wish I'd known about that before I took out my student loan. So I guess the takeaway is to avoid capitalized interest as much as possible.
For sure. Even making small payments toward the interest while you're in school can make a big difference in the long run.
It's like you're stopping it before it even becomes a problem. Okay, so we've talked about the types of loans and all that. Now, what about like responsible borrowing? Any tips on how to not drown in debt?
That's a really important question. And honestly, it's something everyone thinking about grad school needs to consider carefully. The first and most important thing is don't borrow more than you actually need. I know it's tempting to just take the max amount they offer, but every dollar you borrow is a dollar you have to pay back, plus interest.
True. That's easier to say than to do, though.
I know, right? Especially when those tuition bills start rolling in. That's why making a realistic budget is so important.
Yeah, but how do you do that?
You need to figure out your actual living expenses, you know? Factor in all those hidden costs we talked about earlier, and then see how much of a gap you need to fill with loans.
One of the articles also said that it's a good idea to research the average starting salary for your field.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Why is that helpful?
Because it gives you a realistic idea of how much you'll be making after you graduate. And that can help you figure out a loan repayment amount that you can actually afford. You don't want to be stuck making huge payments that eat up all your income.
Yeah, that's a good point. You want to be able to enjoy life after grad school, not just be constantly stressed about loans.
Exactly. And speaking of managing those payments, let's talk about some strategies for like tackling them once you're out in the working world. One thing you should definitely look into is income-driven repayment plans. They base your monthly payment on like a percentage of your income.
Okay, that sounds pretty helpful, especially if you're starting out in a job that doesn't pay much. So how do those plans work?
They calculate your payments based on your income and like how many people are in your family. So if you're not making a lot of money, your payments will be lower. And the best part is, some of these plans even offer forgiveness after a certain number of years.
Wait, forgiveness, as in you don't have to pay back the whole loan?
That's right. There's this program called Public Service Loan Forgiveness, PSLF for short. And it basically forgives whatever's left on your federal loans after 10 years of qualifying payments, as long as you're working full-time for a government organization or a nonprofit.
Wow, that's amazing. That could be a total game changer for people who want to go into public service. Are there any other forgiveness programs out there?
Yeah, there are a few others, but BSLF is probably the most popular one. But it's important to remember that the rules for these programs can change. So you always want to do your research and make sure you're up to date.
So maybe relying completely on loan forgiveness isn't the best plan, but it's definitely worth considering if you're going into public service.
Absolutely. And even if forgiveness isn't an option for you, there are still other ways to manage your debt after you graduate. Like you could refinance your loans to get a lower interest rate or consolidate multiple loans into one, so you only have one payment to worry about.
So basically, the key is to have a plan and be proactive. Don't just ignore those loans and hope they go away.
Exactly. Taking control of your finances, it can actually make you feel a lot less stressed in the long run.
That makes sense. So we've covered a lot here. We've talked about all the hidden costs, the different loan options, and even some strategies for dealing with that debt once you're done with school. What's the main takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just to remember that grad school, it really is an investment.
Right.
Both in your time and your money.
Yeah.
And just like any investment, you want to be smart about it, you know, strategic.
So don't just jump in without thinking about like the financial side of things.
Exactly. Take the time to really research programs, figure out what the real costs are going to be, look into all your funding options, not just loans, and make a solid plan for how you're going to handle those loans down the road.
It sounds like knowledge is key here. The more you know about the financial side of grad school, the better decisions you can make.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to ask for help along the way. Like the financial aid offices at universities, they can be super helpful.
Yeah.
And there are even online tools and organizations that like specialize in student loan counseling.
You know, when I think back to my own grad school experience, I really wish I had been more proactive about getting advice. I kind of just went with the flow and it was pretty overwhelming at times.
Yeah, I think that happens to a lot of people.
But it's good to know there's more support out there now than there used to be. So to anyone listening who's thinking about grad school, seriously, don't be afraid to ask for help. There are people out there who can guide you and help you make a plan that works for you.
Couldn't agree more. And at the end of the day, investing in your education is a great thing.
Yeah.
Just make sure you're doing it in a way that makes sense financially, you know, for the long haul.
Great advice. Well, I think that about wraps up our deep dive into the wild world of grad school finances. Hopefully you're feeling a bit more informed, maybe a bit more confident about tackling this whole thing.
I hope so too. It's a journey for sure. And there will definitely be some bumps along the way.
Yeah.
But with some careful planning and research, you can absolutely reach your goals without totally messing up your finances.
Exactly. And who knows, you might even find some cool funding opportunities you didn't even know existed. Now that you have a better understanding of the financial landscape, what specific questions do you have about your program? We encourage you to continue your research and reach out to the resources we mentioned. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.